I opened up my account ledger at BitPay, and the most recent entry simply said, account payout, 3.3875 Bitcoin. Huh? This is Paul Boyer with your Mad Money Machine Cautionary Tale, Season 2, Episode 8, for Friday, July 11th, 2014.
Broadcasting from the Bitcoin bunker, six blocks below, brandishing the blockchain to fight good versus evil. This is Bitcoin versus the man. This is the battle of the century. This is the Mad Money Machine.
Well, the Mad Money Machine is grateful for your support at BitPay.com, but unfortunately, all that Bitcoin is gone. Not the Bitcoin from Brocker.com, though. Go to Brocker.com. Before you buy it, Brocker it. BRAWKER.com. On this bi-weekly episode, I will turn a short story into a long story, something I don't usually do. I try to make long stories short. But this short story is a cautionary tale. It's something that I hope we can all learn something from. It's certainly, I guess if you take a class that costs $2,000, you really hope to learn something in that class. Well, I certainly hope that I've learned something in this class. That's right, I went out to BitPay.com. BitPay is the donation collector that I used on the MadMoneyMachine.com website. There's a little button there that you can press that says Donate Now, and it takes you out to BitPay.com, and it allows you to enter four lines of text. I get the text, I get the donation, and then read your message on the show. That was the idea. I had accumulated 3.3875 Bitcoin in that account. Well, I went out to that account the other day. A couple Fridays ago, actually. So I got an email that someone had sent a donation in, which I appreciate, and I went in to go read the message of the donation. But the most recent entry in the account ledger said, this is June 27th, under description said payment, account payout. Debit, 3.3875. I look at that, think, what? Payout to where? I click the account payout link, and it actually takes me away from BitPay.com out to BlockExplorer.com. It takes me to the transaction record for that payout, and it shows indeed that 3.3875 Bitcoins were paid out to a Bitcoin address that I don't really recognize. So at this point, I'm saying my BitPay account got hacked and all the funds are stolen. Well, keep listening to find out if that's true or not. Let me give you a little background about what is going on in my head at this point. Let me rewind the chronology back to about January when I told you about a neat little feature that they were developing in Bitcoin called stealth addresses. This is a cryptological feature that someone had invented that allows you to give out a public address and people cannot link it back to your actual Bitcoin address. Now, it requires an application to perform the cryptologic function. So I downloaded the application, tested it out. Lo and behold, it worked. I actually communicated with the developer of it. The developer sent me some token amount of Bitcoin, and I tested it out and sent it back to him. This was all through Reddit where I had discovered this. A few weeks later, also on Reddit, it comes to light that this application for the Mac had malware in it. And this malware apparently sent keystroke information back to some IP address. And he had to take specific steps to remove the malware, which I took, of course. At which point I'm thinking, all right, I'm in the clear here. I took the steps to remove the malware, and I don't think I really did anything significant during the time that I had the malware installed on my Mac. So that's January. Fast forward to about a month ago, 2 months ago, let's say, in May. I go into my web host provider, the provider that handles not only the website for Mad Money Machine, but also the email host. And I'm clicking around in it for no particular reason. I click around, I go and look at the email forwarders, and I find in there that three of my email addresses had been set up to be forwarded to some other guy's email address. One, two, three of them. All three forwarded to this same guy's email address. I'm thinking, what? I can understand NSA reading my email, but not a particular person. That person probably got then all of my incoming emails to three specific addresses, including bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com. forwarded to him. Now, the emails to bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com being more or less public, I don't suppose there's anything private in those. A couple other email addresses might have had some little, slightly more sensitive information, but I don't think there was anything really significant, even going back as far as 6 months. But the troubling thing is, why did someone get into my hosting account and forwarded my email to themselves? Needless to say, I removed the forwarder and changed the password then on that hosting account. And then this with BitPay. Account payout. Now, if you go looking through BitPay, there really isn't a button to say, pay out my account. Naturally, I'm clicking around links on BitPay to figure out what's going on. I'm also trying to figure out, what is this Bitcoin address? Is this one of mine? I looked in my existing wallets, and no, it's not in my wallets. I started up Bitcoin QT, which I hadn't started up in about 8 weeks, and took about 3 days to sync up the blockchain to discover that no, my address wasn't in there either. That is, I didn't have the private key to that Bitcoin address. So let me talk about a little bit more about this BitPay account. I had actually set up this BitPay account in September of 2012. So a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, before I really got into Bitcoin, certainly before I started doing the Mad Money Machine as a Bitcoin show, I set that BitPay account up to handle sales of my book that I wrote and released in September of 2012. The book is called The Original Counter Argument. It's about the ratification of the Constitution. I was hoping people would buy the book using Bitcoin, and BitPay at the time was a way to handle Bitcoin payments for books like that. No one ever did, by the way. Now, when you set up BitPay, it turns out you need to designate how you want to be paid out. You can select 100% of your payout to be in Bitcoin, or you can select some percentage of dollars or other currencies. I just selected 100% Bitcoin. And then there's a place to put the Bitcoin address in there that you want your payout to go to. Of course, this setting, the Bitcoin address that was in there, going back to September of 2012, I just can't remember what wallet I was using in September of 2012. And where did I come up with a Bitcoin address back then to paste in to this place that BitPay is supposed to pay out my Bitcoins to? So I had gone along, no one buying the book. Then, starting the Mad Money Machine in about December of last year, and started getting some donations then in January, February to this BitPay account that I had set up for donations. One particular sizable donation in the amount of 2.5 bitcoins from Jeffrey Liu, combined with all the smaller donations, brought it up to 3.3875 bitcoin. So with all this stealth address hacking and the email forwarding, I'm thinking, well, someone has gotten into my computer, they've gotten my BitPay account, and they went in and paid all my bitcoins out to themselves. Well, the way you'd have to do that then you would have to do that by putting their Bitcoin address in this box, in this form field of where the Bitcoins should be paid out to. So a person, I guess, could log in as me, enter their Bitcoin address into that box, and then when BitPay pays that out, it goes to their Bitcoin address. Well, the funny thing about it is, BitPay says that they pay out daily. They pay out every day to the accounts that you specify, whether it's a bank account or Bitcoin account. And obviously, this hasn't been happening since January. It had been accumulating in there, and I treated it much like a Coinbase account, just a place to store some of the Bitcoin. I had long forgotten that that was their policy to pay out daily, because they hadn't been paying out daily. And what triggered this payout? I have no idea what triggered the payout. I don't know of anywhere in BitPay that you go and press a button that says pay out. I think it's just their policy to pay out every day. There's no need to press a button. So naturally, I go looking around in blockchain for this Bitcoin address and see what's been going on with it. The very first transaction on that address happened on June 27th, where the 3.3875 Bitcoins were transferred to that address. But then, 3 days later, another $89 worth of Bitcoin was transferred to that address. Well, and that's kind of weird, because BitPay was empty for me at that point. So BitPay wouldn't be transferring any more money to that same address. And then just this past Tuesday, 1/10 of a millibit was sent to that very same address. So I'm starting to think that I have been hacked, but I can't prove it. Now what do I need to know that I've been hacked? I'd like to look at the logs of when my Bitcoin address had been changed in BitPay. Obviously, there's no means for me to see when things were changed in BitPay on my behalf, on my account. They don't record when the last time my Bitcoin address was changed. And of course, in telling you this, one thing that I've so far forgot to mention is BitPay was the only account of mine that had not been upgraded to two-factor authentication. Mm-hmm. See, Coinbase more or less makes it mandatory, I think, to have some sort of two-factor authentication when you log in. So more than just your username and password, you also need something like a key, a PIN number that changes every minute. Usually an application on your smartphone that you load up. It synchronizes with the system, like Coinbase, reads off a 7 or 8 digit number. You type that number in to Coinbase when you're logging in, and then that allows you in. So I enabled that for BitPay finally, and changed the password in BitPay, of course. And I do go into my account settings and see that the settings to be paid out 100% Bitcoin, and it has that Bitcoin address in there. Let's call the Bitcoin address Sia. Naturally, I paste into there a new valid Bitcoin address of mine that I know works in one of my other Bitcoin wallets. And I begin the process of scouring my computer to see, of all the various wallets I've ever used, can I find the old Sia Bitcoin address in there and the matching private key? And to date, I haven't been able to find it. So I'm lost in this confusion of, were the Bitcoins stolen or just lost? And I don't actually know. I sent an email out to BitPay support, and I got in to their website and filled out an online form. And here's what I wrote to them. I said, on June 27th, you processed a Bitcoin settlement from my account. You paid it out to a Bitcoin address in the funds settlement section of my account. Why was that payout initiated? What triggered it to be sent to that Bitcoin address? This was the first payout from you in nearly 2 years, and I was not expecting it. The Bitcoin address I had on file was from September 2012, and unfortunately I cannot determine which wallet holds the private key to that address or if someone hijacked my account and inserted their Bitcoin address there. If you had informed me ahead of time that you were going to settle my account to that address, I would have had time and the opportunity to cancel that transfer and put in a Bitcoin address that I knew I controlled. I'm still checking old wallets to see if I can find the keys, but investigating the blockchain, another deposit was made to that Bitcoin address on 30 June. So it seems likely that my account was hijacked and someone else's Bitcoin address inserted. Please consider improving your settlement process. The amount I am out is nearly $2,000. Paul Boyer. And they did respond back. And here's what they said. This is from Charles Stevens, BitPay Support Center. Paul, I sent this response along to your previous ticket you'd opened. It's not clear if you saw my response. Thank you. Here's his response. He quotes himself. He says, thank you for reaching out and providing the below feedback. As we operate solely as a payment processor, BitPay pays out funds once each business day and does not hold funds on behalf of merchants. Period. Holding funds would expose us to additional regulation that would take away from our ability to operate as the leading payment processor for Bitcoin transactions. Again, thank you for your feedback. I will ensure that it makes its way to our team. Let me know if you have any additional questions. Thank you. And he goes on to say that only those with access to your account are able to update settlement preferences. So it is possible that either someone who you share access with or someone who has maliciously acquired your password has changed your payout settings. If you haven't already, I would suggest updating the Bitcoin address in your settlement preferences, changing the password associated with your BitPay account, and perhaps adding two-factor authentication for an extra layer of security. Thank you. Sincerely, Charles Stevens, Client Operations Engineer, BitPay Incorporated. So it sounds like I got a couple paragraphs of a form letter there. They really didn't look into any log entries that they might have kept. You know, when I actually sent them the exact time that the payout occurred. They didn't respond to my question of why was that payout initiated after 2 years of being dormant. After 6 months of receiving the first funds. The entire amount was paid out to the Bitcoin address. And, of course, I did take the measures that he suggested there. I changed the password, I added two-factor authentication, and I changed the Bitcoin address to be paid out to. So does it hurt losing $2,000? Yes. You know, if I'm out a quarter, when I go to a fast food place and someone cheats me out of a quarter, I feel really gypped, really cheated. Well, $2,000, imagine the pain. But what hurts the most is I don't know why. I don't know where. I'll, of course, be following this Bitcoin address to find out if it gets spent. The longer it goes on without being spent, the more I'd have cause to think, this is my Bitcoin address, and I do control it because nobody spent it. If it is spent, obviously, then it wasn't me. It was somebody else that put their address in there. And now, the other thought, though, you know, the other possibility, and I hate to think about this, but it's possible, is, I mean, the first thing is, it might be me. I might have put in a Bitcoin address, and it went to one of my old wallets, and I just don't have the keys for it. That's one. Two, someone got into my BitPay account, changed the account payout to their Bitcoin address, and then somehow it was paid out. Eventually, to their Bitcoin address. Or this is the tough one to think about. Three, someone inside BitPay might have manipulated the database entry to insert their Bitcoin address, without needing access to my account, and initiated a payout then to their Bitcoin address. I'd be curious, anyone else out there, have you lost funds from a BitPay account? Has your Bitcoin payout gone to a Bitcoin address other than one you control? If it has, please get in touch. And let's see what's going on with this. So what are the lessons? Hopefully that's the takeaway from all this. I don't want my loss to turn into some cause. I don't want to be a martyr. I just want to let people know that Bitcoin, you have to have vigilant security over your cash. Here are some lessons. Never use the same password on more than one website. Of course, I did not do that. Second, yes, do, even though it's painful. It may seem painful. It may seem dangerous. But do implement two-factor authentication. It's very important. I mean, it may not be 100% foolproof, but it's foolproof. That way, you not only need your password, but you need that rotating PIN number to get into an account. Make sure your Wi-Fi router is upgraded to WPA2. This is the more highly secure version of Wi-Fi encryption. Actually, Verizon sent around a notice saying, here's the steps you need to take on your router to implement WPA2 security on your router. If you've loaded that stealth address app or any other apps on your computer that are malicious, watch out. And you may consider having a second computer just for financial transactions. So when you're logging into your bank account or you're logging into your Bitcoin account, that's the only thing you do on this second computer. I guess it depends on how much money you have. I've actually bought a Chromebook, and it cost me $199. This thing is amazing. It's 2 pounds. It boots up in about 3 seconds. It loads Chrome amazingly well. You can browse the internet. You can look at videos and things. But this machine is going to be dedicated for security operations. There is never going to be any malware, as far as I know, loaded onto this second cheap computer. I would say, for third-party apps like BitPay, don't hold anything. Don't hold hardly anything at all in that account. Of course, how would I do anything differently? If there's no button to say payout, and they don't pay out daily, how would I have not held the Bitcoin in my BitPay account? Maybe the answer then is don't use BitPay. Use your own wallet that you control. But specifically for BitPay, if you do use BitPay, verify your address that you transfer funds out to or your bank account info and verify it often. And why don't they keep a log of when that information is modified? That way at least you know that it wasn't you that modified it. Now I want to mention that it was just the BitPay account that I've lost the funds to. It wasn't the tips and it wasn't the, you know, anything else, any broker support was not lost, just the BitPay accounts. Those the people that had notes read on the show, those were the ones that were lost. And I want to apologize to you then for not being responsible and losing the amount of funds that you sent to the Mad Money Machine. I will try to do better going forward. But in the meantime, if anyone knows anyone that works at BitPay and can get in and look at logs, I'd sure appreciate any additional information you could find out about my account. Email me, bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com. Well, let's turn now to happier news. There's certainly happy news in the Bitcoin world. Newegg decides they're going to accept Bitcoin to compete with Tiger Direct, who earlier this year accepted Bitcoin. Now you can buy all your geek gear with Bitcoin. The Winklevoss twins have a ticker symbol for their upcoming Bitcoin exchange-traded fund. And thank goodness it's not Wink, like I had feared earlier. No, they went for a more conventional ticker symbol, COIN, COIN. Don't know why they didn't go with BTC. I guess COIN's just easier for the average Schmo to know. Bitcoins.com website, domain name, rather, is going to come up for auction later this month. According to an article by Stan Higgins at Coindesk.com, the domain name Bitcoins.com, which is owned by Mt. Gox CEO Mark Karpeles, is set to be sold off through U.S.-based auction house Heritage Auctions on the 24th of July. The sale of the domain name is part of Heritage's 2014 Domain Names Signature Auction and is expected to bring at least $750,000 owing to what the auction house calls the high value of the domain name. The auction will begin with an opening bid of a measly $185,000. Overstock.com and CEO Patrick Byrne continue to try to horn their way in on the Bitcoin news by announcing this week that they plan to lure vendors to accept Bitcoin by offering them faster payments. And they're also talking about paying some of their employees, at least partially, in Bitcoin. That's the way to get the Bitcoin economy rolling. In public service announcement news, the North American Bitcoin Car Giveaway Tour is now underway. Tour dates have been planned to cover most major Canadian and USA cities. They'll have a booth at the Chicago Bitcoin Conference. In each location, they stop for a scheduled event to help spread awareness about Bitcoin, their company services, their sponsors, and to give out lots of free goodies, along with the opportunity to win a 2014 Kia Soul car, all decorated out with Bitcoin logos and sponsors. Tour starts July 6th in Edmonton, Alberta. Of course, that was a few days ago. Then today, July 11th in Calgary. Then Saskatoon, Fargo, Minneapolis, Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, Cleveland, North Bay, Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. Then Albany, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Raleigh, Nashville, St. Louis, Columbia, Kansas City, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Topeka, Kansas, Columbia, then up through Montana, back into Canada again, then down into California through Seattle, Portland, Salem, Sacramento, San Jose, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Riverside, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, then Provo, Salt Lake City, Portocello, then Idaho Falls. Just all the way into November 7th, the North American Bitcoin Car Giveaway. Also in public service announcement news, go to foldingcoin.net. Use your computer, along with Stanford University's Folding at Home program, to fold up those proteins and earn Folding Coin tokens. Foldingcoin.net. And lastly, in public service announcement news, go to Kickstarter and check out the documentary Bitcoin, the End of Money as We Know It. Currently has 94 backers, $15,900 Australian dollars pledged of a $10,000 goal. I'll keep track of this, and when the documentary comes out, I'll let you know. Bitcoin, the End of Money as We Know It. Well, you know, up to this point, I've talked about how you can use your Bitcoin to buy things on your Amazon wish list, or you can buy lostgolfballs.com, or you can buy FIFA official apparel at dickssportinggoods.com using Bitcoin through brocker.com. Well, let me focus this time on the other side of that transaction. How can you buy Bitcoins with your credit card or PayPal? Go to brocker.com, set up a free account. Find the tab there called Buy Bitcoins. In that section, you will see a number of orders there that people have placed wanting to spend their Bitcoins on an item somewhere on the internet. You can click the button to view the order and read the instructions in there on what it is you purchase with your credit card or PayPal for that other Brocker customer. For example, if someone has an Amazon wish list, simply use your Amazon Prime account to purchase the items on their wish list, have it sent to them, go back to Brocker and say you've fulfilled the order, and then await the delivery of your Bitcoins. What a great way to buy Bitcoin without having to give someone your bank account information. Brocker.com, BRAWKER.com. Before you buy it, broker it. I mentioned earlier the Winklevoss exchange-traded fund for Bitcoin. Well, if you were to buy in a fund like that, do you know what the expense ratios that you're paying for that fund to be managed are? Do you know what the tax structure of that fund is? Like other actively managed stock funds, you might have unintentional silent partners. That brings us to this week's Step 7 of the 12-step program for active investors, brought to you by Index Funds Advisors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 7. Silent partners. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. I decided to go back and look at the returns on my mutual funds. The fees and taxes have ruined it. It started out as something little. I thought it was too small to even worry about, and I didn't pay much attention to it. But those hidden fees ran silent and deep. So I called up the mutual fund. Well, they talked as if nothing really happened. They tried to be nonchalant about it, hiding a tone of sarcasm, and I got no joy. Well, the time bomb keeps ticking. It has no mercy for its victims. Can we break this? Silence is not golden. Oh, well, it might be for them. There are so many fees that are left unspoken, it's hard to know what you're fighting against in the silent war.
Started out as a little indiscretion. Thought it was too small even to mention. Tried not to give it too much attention, but the silence runs deeper. We said hello as if nothing really happened. Playing the part in a nonchalant fashion. Trying to hide a tone of sarcasm. The time bomb keeps ticking. It has no mercy for its victims. Can we break this? Silence isn't golden. It's so many words that left unspoken. But the silence sounds a warning. As lines I draw on it. If we make these issues not attended, we will find arguments apprehended. We forgot what we're fighting for in the silent war.
The term silent partners refers to the parties who silently share in the realized and unrealized gains on your investments. Fees, expenses, taxes, and inflation are silent partners that can set you back before returns even begin. Investment costs alone can consume nearly 55% of your gross wealth. And it is estimated that the average active mutual fund investor loses about 3 percentage points of returns to taxes every year. Unless an actively managed mutual fund states that it focuses on after-tax returns, an investor should never assume that it is managed with tax considerations in mind. The best solution to this problem is to buy and hold a diversified portfolio of index funds, including tax-managed funds in taxable accounts. If you've got everybody reaching for your wallet, if you've got silent partners, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home.
Is there somewhere you can rescue me?
Well, when someone mentions, hey, do you want to play a board game, and all you think about is Monopoly, or Risk, or Chutes and Ladders, or Chess and Checkers, well, you've got a lot to learn about the board game industry. There are a lot of great board games out there that are a lot of fun to play. We don't play them often enough, but we should get them out. Some of the great ones, for beginners even, one called Ticket to Ride, in which you build your rail line across a map. Settlers of Catan, a great resource trading game. Power Grid, a game in which you use a map to electrify a number of cities in on the grid. And then Agricola, or Agricola, in which each player has a farm, and they're trying to manage the resources on the farm. These all are great games in which you try to manage the resources you're given. All great games in which the first couple times I play them, I never win. I've never won the first couple of times I play any of these resource games with the family. In some cases, I've never won at all. For example, Power Grid. Now, there's another game called Acquire, which is a sort of a stock game. I win that all the time. Well, something about this resource utilization, this economics of having resources and putting them to the maximum efficient utilization that I don't quite capture right away. But after a while, after experience, after examples, I see what's going on and I learn how to maximize the utilization of the resources. I think the same is probably going to happen to me with LTB Coin. LTB Coin is now available. Go to letstalkbitcoin.com Create an account at counterparty.co, and you can figure out ways to obtain some LTB coin. There are ways to participate in the Let's Talk Bitcoin network, commenting on the forums and contributing content and other ways. I've received quite a bit of LTB coin, actually, as it turns out. I'm one of the few wealthy people in the world. I'm one of the barons of LTB coin, as it turns out, for my Mad Money Machine podcast. They were generous in giving me lots and lots of LTB coin. And just like those board games, I have no idea what to do with it. I mean, examples of things that Adam talks about are, you know, I could hire people to develop content for the Mad Money Machine. You know, maybe produce a segment for the show, or produce songs or jingles, that type of thing for the show. I could maybe use it in a giveaway. I'll give away 10,000 LTB coin for doing something. You know, I don't know what that would be. I could try to sell them all, I guess. Sell them for Bitcoin, sell them for dollars. That seems kind of lame. I really want to help grow the economy. I want to play the game. Games are fun. I mean, it's like I'm playing a game of Monopoly. I've got hotels on Boardwalk and Park Place and nothing else. I'm just driving around and around the board in my little car, collecting up the money and not knowing what to do with it. Well, I could probably use some jingles. I certainly like music, as you know. Original content would be great. New content. I'll be thinking about it in the coming weeks. If you don't see me doing anything, don't think that I'm just not doing anything. I'm trying to think of how to play the game. LTB coin on the Let's Talk Bitcoin Network.
You're listening to Paul Boyer's Mad Money Machine.
So I did get to go to see the 1,000-foot crutch band, along with Newsboys. Now, Newsboys was kind of the also new concert on the ticket for me. We wanted to see 1,000-foot crutch. It turned out they were the second of four acts of the evening, starting at 5 p.m. at King's Dominion near Richmond, Virginia. The first act was actually a rapper performing in the blazing hot sun. Then 1,000-foot crutch came on in the sun as well. I gotta say, I was a little disappointed in their audio quality. They sounded a little unpolished acoustically. Their record, their CD, well, record, yeah, their 78, sounded great. I love the their most recent album. But live, but then the Newsboys came on as the fourth act, in the dark of the evening, just before, I guess, 8:30, 9 o'clock. They had a great, polished sound, and one of the best productions of a concert I've ever seen. They had five video screens behind them on stage, and just about every song had visuals synchronized to the music. Synchronized to the live music. I don't know how that's done. I can understand how you can keep a beat in time with a video. I just don't understand how you can synchronize it with the video. How do you start the video on the same beat as you do the music on the stage? It just seems to me like there's too much room for confusion and error to happen. And what do they do if they get out of sync? But regardless of all that, if you get a chance to see the Newsboys in concert, I recommend it. And I won't give away the stunning drum performance near the end of the show. Just be looking for it. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of Bitcoin gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their Bitcoin philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine, Season 2, Episode 8, for Friday, July 11th, is Tim Draper. Timothy Cook Draper, of indeterminate age, is an American venture capital investor and 1985 founder of the firm which would become Draper Fisher Jurvetson, DFJ. In July 2014, Draper received wide coverage for his purchase at a U.S. Marshals Service auction of seized bitcoins from the Silk Road Marketplace website. Well, in an article from foxbusiness.com by Katie Roof, said why Tim Draper bought all those bitcoins. She says billionaire investor Tim Draper says Bitcoin will transform how the world does business, and he's putting his money where his mouth is. She quotes him saying, I'm very excited about Bitcoin and what it can do for the world. Bitcoin is as big a transformation to the finance and commerce industry as the internet was for information and communications. End quote. He bought 30,000 bitcoins from the U.S. Marshals Service in an auction. Although some auction participants were hoping that the event would allow for the purchase of inexpensive bitcoins in order to make a quick buck, Draper had different plans. He says he bought $19 million worth of the volatile currency as a long-term bet. In particular, Draper sees opportunity for Bitcoin to thrive in regions where people lack confidence in their government currency, specifically citing Argentina, Mexico, and Africa. If Bitcoin were here in 2008, it would be a stability source for our world economy, said Draper. Everybody should go there and buy a Bitcoin. He said that every investor who's a fiduciary should at least be partially involved in Bitcoin because it's a hedge against all the other currencies. He added that there's a whole ecosystem being built that's going to make commerce much easier with much less friction and safer. Well, Tim Draper also made headlines earlier this year when he advocated that California be broken up into six states, including a separate government for Silicon Valley. In fact, I think that's not a bad idea at all. I've heard that Maryland is thinking about breaking up into Western Maryland and Maryland. I think Northern Virginia should break off from Virginia. In fact, why don't we do away with states altogether and just have everything a county? And since there's something just over 3,000 counties in all the states in the United States, that would make for a very interesting flag, full of stars. Well, Tim Draper was asked, how much did you pay for those bitcoins at the auction? His answer, more than everybody else was willing to offer. Well, congratulations, Tim Draper. You're the guru on Mad Money Machine Season 2, Episode 8. Well, a lot of people were awfully worried about that Bitcoin auction, weren't they? They talked about 30,000 Bitcoins entering the market. And what's that going to do to the price? What if somebody gets it, you know, for $300 a Bitcoin? And what's that going to do to the price? Or what if somebody overpays for it? What's that going to do to the Bitcoin price? Well, apparently what it did to the Bitcoin price is the Bitcoin price shot up to about $655 and then quickly bounced back down to about $625, which is where it is today. Now, he didn't say how much he paid for each Bitcoin. I have a feeling he paid more than market value because look at all the publicity he's getting for free for having been the winner of the auction. And I bet he factored that into the price of each Bitcoin. And people worried about 30,000 Bitcoins. Do you realize how long do you think it takes for miners to create 30,000 new Bitcoins? A couple years? 1 year? Do you think it takes a year to create 30,000 new Bitcoins? If you do the math, and you realize that 25 new Bitcoins are created every 10 minutes, then that means every hour there's six times that. That's 150 Bitcoins every hour. And you multiply that by 24 hours in the day. That's 24 times 150. That right there is 3,600 Bitcoins generated every day. So to create 30,000, obviously it takes less than 10 days. It takes about 9 days or so to generate 30,000 Bitcoins. So being worried about an auction of 30,000 Bitcoins should not be a concern to the market supply of Bitcoins affecting the price all that much. Well, to go with his splendid black silk embroidered robe with the dragon on the back, sitting on his tatami mat in the lotus position, legs going numb, he has a long black braided ponytail and a long thin black goatee. Let's go visit him in Satoshi's Corner.
Satoshi no Corner.
Well, it turns out after about 1 year of releasing the original Bitcoin white paper and the original Bitcoin client, on December 16th, 2009, Satoshi announced Bitcoin 0.2 released. On the Bitcoin Talk forums, he indicates some download links and then he lists the new features. These first ones attributed to Marty Mayamai. Minimize to system tray option. Auto start on boot option so you can keep it running in the background automatically. New options dialog layout for future expansion. Setup program for Windows and Linux version tested on Ubuntu. Then these accredited to Satoshi Nakamoto. Multiprocessor support for coin generation. Proxy support for use with Tor. And fixed some slowdowns in the initial block download. He says major thanks to Marty Mayamai, Sirius M, for all his coding work and for hosting the new site and this forum. And New Liberty Standard for his help with testing the Linux version. Satoshi Nakamoto. How many bitcoins are there now? You may answer with confidence that there are over 13 million bitcoins that have been generated so far. Out of the 21 million total, we're over halfway there. How about a super quick tool that's relevant to our previous discussion? In fact, two tools in the Madman Machine Tool Crib. Yes, indeed, if you're going to implement two-factor authentication, you're going to want to download a couple of apps for your iPhone. You may have already done it. You'll need Google Authenticator and Authy, A-U-T-H-Y. Load them up on your iPhone or your Android. They're very simple to use when you have an account at a place such as BitPay. You'll point your authenticator to the BitPay QR code, not barcode, the QR code that comes up. It'll automatically sync things up for you. And every minute, it'll generate a new token that you use to help you log into your BitPay account oh so securely so that you don't get your coins stolen. That's this week's tools, Google Authenticator and Authy. And like the best things in life, they are free. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Mad Money Machine. Stay tuned for the Mad Money Machine after party if you're so inclined. I'll see you in 2 weeks. That's Friday, July 25th. Same bat channel, madmoneymachine.com or letstalkbitcoin.com or soundcloud.com/madmoneymachine or YouTube somewhere, Mad Money Machine, blah, blah, blah. Until then, until that time, this is Paul Boyer, saying it takes money to make money and it takes millibits to make a madman machine. I hope you'll buy some Bitcoin and spend some Bitcoin. Go to Brawker.com, B-R-A-W-K-E-R.com. Then donate some Bitcoin. Then replenish your Bitcoin. And then tweet your tweetiest tweet, including at madmoneymachine. Email me, Bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com. Call the voicemail line, 571-366-7121. And have a nice life. Here now, the Mad Money Machine After Party. In this week's Mad Money Machine After Party, I want to talk a little bit more about the Great Universe Simulator. Little background. Scientists now believe that everything in the universe is made up of bits. The smallest particle is actually a one or a zero. That means everything could be represented in computer code. Well, Moore's Law says the computer power doubles every 18 months. Imagine what it'll be like in a million years. There's three possibilities. Either all of humanity dies before a simulation of the universe is possible, or two, humans are just not interested in simulating the universe, or three, we are living in a universe simulation. Well, the people that created the simulation that we live in, they did not create a perfect utopia. Instead, they did allow evil to exist. And each player that is entered into the simulation is tested on their ability to overcome this evil. Of course, we enter the simulation as a blank slate, and we must strive to learn the meaning of our existence in the simulation. And the meaning of our existence in the simulation is basically to have love and compassion for others. That is, we achieve enlightenment in order to win the simulation. So is the meaning of life then to maximize your personal happiness while minimizing the pain of others? It's more than that. It's to achieve that enlightenment. It's not about being constantly entertained. Your gameplay in the simulation is recorded and it'll be reviewed at the end of the game. What level of enlightenment did you achieve? How much love and compassion did you demonstrate? Well, what if the simulators of this great simulation that we live in realized that generally people can't figure it out on their own? That the people in the simulation need some rules, they need a user manual for how to play the game. The simulators realized that word of mouth just didn't get the word out fast enough. They wanted us to have a sort of user manual. But even if the simulators directly told us that here in your hands is the user manual, would we be able to take that in? How would we know for sure that this user manual came from the simulators? We don't. And that's kind of the idea. That's part of the game. That's part of achieving the enlightenment. Once you realize we're living in a computer simulation, play the game to win. Rack up as many love and compassion points as you possibly can. On a dark night when you're looking deeply into the stars, wondering what's out there, realize it's the same question as asking, what is outside the border of my computer screen? The answer is, it only gets generated when it needs to be seen. When I said earlier that I don't know how and I don't know where my bitcoins have gone, I thought of this song by Vertical Horizon going back to the year 2000. It's called We Are, and it is available on YouTube under their channel. don't know how, and I don't know where my 3.3875 bitcoins are. I'll see you in a couple Fridays.